This is Leonard Nimoy. Our story concerns itself with one man's battle with the greatest monster any of us will ever face in any arena, his conscience. Armando Paz, better known to the aficion of all the countries of the world as El Encanto, was and is that man. Before becoming El Encanto, the Enchanted One, he was usually called Armando, or a variety of other names usually reserved to describe a poverty-stricken stealer of oranges in southern Spain, or someone who loved the art of bullfighting so passionately that he would sneak into forbidden pastures and practice surviving the bull's deadly horns on moonless nights. Before Armando was El Encanto, he was nobody, and he never forgot it.
Deje, deje. Torito Bravo. Such great, beautifully formed horns. So well armed by nature that you have only the monsters in this arena to fear.
Eje.
They force me to kill you. A profound symbol of freedom and strength. In order for them to experience the idea of death. You are real. They are shadows, screams, moans, creatures seeking second-hand reality. The sword sinks into the muscle of your great neck like butter. And your right horn graces my groin as you make the last charge of your life. We are joined now in a warm blur, suspended in time for a second, and I feel the sensation of your horn slashing a pattern into my guts. I live. Your horns die. The screams of the monster that forces us to live on each other's blood is the same. Always the same.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Armando Paz, El Encanto, by Odie Hawkins. Our stars, Larry Moss, Tommy Cook, and Jack Crucian.
Life is not always easy. No one can dispute that. But how many of us face death each time we go to work?
Armando Paz, El Encanto, carve this noble name onto the hearts of the bullfight public today. Fighting 3 magnificent cathedrales from the ranch of Don Julio Belmonte, he offered an incredible display of cape work. Those critics who have accused El Encanto of being stingy with his cape work in the past would not have been able to make that complaint today. He expressed himself superbly in the opening movement by executing those statuesque passes that have justly earned him the nickname El Encanto. His movement from beginning to end was a logical interwoven pattern that could only be called extravagant, but refined and above all, terribly elegant.
Armando, what is wrong? Don't you enjoy hearing about yourself anymore?
I never did. But that isn't something I've been able to make you understand.
According to you, I have never been able to understand a tremendous number of things.
Please, Mira, let's not argue. Come on, sit down over here beside me. I'm tired of fighting.
Why are you so irritable these days?
I wasn't aware that I was behaving any differently than...
But you are. You used to be so relaxed, so at ease with life. I remember thinking when I first met you, is it possible that this man kills bulls for a living?
How long has it been, Mira? 3 years? 3 years is a long time to be El Encanto.
But it is a choice you made in life. Why do you take it out on me?
I'm not taking anything out on you.
But you are. You bring these depressing moods into our relationship. It unnerves me. It makes me feel that I am not doing something right, that I'm failing you in some way.
Who could know that better than you?
Why do you make these sly remarks, Armando? Have I not created a beautiful lifestyle for us? Have I not made your life pleasant?
Do you think that surrounding yourself, surrounding us with all of these things, that some type of happiness will automatically occur? Sometimes I think I was happier when I had to steal oranges for a meal.
Armando, what do you want? I don't understand. The more you have, the less satisfied you become. What the hell do you want?
I want you, Mira, amongst other things.
You have me, Armando.
That's not what I mean.
So we are back to this again.
Is that the way you think about it?
Si. Armando, I have told you 1,000 times, I am yours. But I must reserve the privilege to be my own person. Why must you feel that the people around you should belong to you, body and soul?
That sounds like an odd question for someone to ask who surrendered her so-called freedom for 500,000 pesetas.
Are you a great one to talk? Think of how much of yourself you surrendered this afternoon for money.
Think about how it feels like. Even the possibility of being gored in the thigh, in the stomach, the armpit, maybe the eye.
For money.
No, not for money, Mira. I go to the vaults because I am called. I am forced.
I don't understand when you say things like this. You are called to fight the bulls?
I don't know if it would be possible to explain what that means to someone who only thinks in terms of supply and demand.
Armando, for once, just for once, rather than trying to talk over my head, why don't you try to explain? Perhaps I can understand.
You really want me to try to explain, huh?
Si, I'm very curious.
All right, I'll try. But first, we must place ourselves outside of this petty conversation.
I never engage myself in petty conversations.
You asked me to explain something to you. If you want that explanation, you must be patient and listen to it.
Ay. Si. Go on.
Good. I must explain to you what I know, what I feel in my own words. Because I haven't read the words of the people who write about my art. As a man, I am nothing. Nada. I am like other men, but as a creature who confronts death in the shape of a bull many times each season, I am El Encanto.
I do not quite understand.
I told you you wouldn't understand.
But I did not say for you to stop.
Should I go on then?
See, of course, go on.
I am a sacrifice, you see, to a spirit in our world that is older than religion. It is older than my Uncle Juan.
Is there such a thing?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not mean...
I understand, Mira. I understand. Pour us some more wine.
Yes, our best Jerez. Now, please, go on.
I say that I am a sacrifice to a spirit older than religion. Now, this is true. The spirit is fear. And I am used by the aficion, by the public, to overcome something that they do not want to confront. Death. I am the woman who...
You are the what?
I know it sounds incredible, but in a way, symbolically, I am the woman in the pretty clothes, flirting with a supreme symbol of manhood, using the capote and muleta as fans. And yet, every man in the arena identifies himself with me.
I wish Jose Flores could hear you now.
Jose knows this already. It is what makes his afición so great.
I can understand all of this. I can understand all of what you say, except for the part where you say you are forced to fight the bulls.
But it is true. It is my calling. If I did not do it, someone else would have to do it, and they probably would not do it half as well.
So, you think of yourself as some kind of a priest, eh?
I spoke of myself as a sacrifice, not a priest.
Armando, you are an incredible man. Incredible. But you would not recognize reality if it gored you between the eyes.
I guess it is my turn not to understand you. What are you talking about?
I ask you a simple question that only concerns money, and you give me a lot of mystical nonsense about fear, about death. Why can't you make yourself understand that you are giving the public a thrill that they could get in no other way?
I hope that isn't true.
But it is true. That is why the Mexicanos are willing to pay you so much to see a fight between you and Ramon Garcia. Have you made up your mind? The money will be fantastic.
Mira, you are hopeless. No matter what we talk about, we always come back to the same thing, money.
Well, what else over so many options?
Going back and forth in time, we are quite often able to take mental pictures, emotional glances at our heroes, especially those of yesterday, as these men are doing, and as they remember and wonder.
Tell me, Senor Cody, what do you think of the festival this year?
Oh, I've seen better.
Oh, I like that in you. One who has always seen better. It gives you a great opportunity to avoid dealing with the present and very often with the recent past. It offers you a great deal of safety, doesn't it?
Would you say that running in front of the bulls yesterday morning was the way to safety? The annual test of bravery.
Please, do not misunderstand, Senor Cody.
Please, Ernest.
Ah, thank you, Ernest. Understand me, I do not doubt your courage, only your judgment. Especially when we concern ourselves with the quality of this year's festival as compared to those of past years.
Obviously, the same could be said about Matadores.
Clearly. Oh, waiter, more shrimp and beer for my amigo from America.
I know what you're getting at, Senor Flores.
Oh, please, you may call me Jose.
Jose, I know what you're getting at. Since we occupied this table 3 days ago, you've been trying to get me to say that Armando Paz was, and is, if he was still fighting, the best that ever used the flannel.
Perhaps.
Salud.
Salud.
Are you saying that I should forget about the great bullfighters in history, Manuel Rodriguez, Manolete, Joselito, Gargancho, Procuna on a good day, Arusa?
Well, not completely, but I have to say this honestly. On a good day, El Encanto would have given them all the bath. Oh, he was unique, absolutely alone on the face of the planet in his perfection.
With a plate of such excellent shrimp in front of us, Senor Jose.
Thank you.
I would find it very difficult to disagree too strongly with you. But aren't we forgetting someone?
Oh, who is that?
Ramon Garcia, Soberano.
Oh, him.
Well, it was generally conceded by most knowledgeable bullfight fans that the matchup they fought in Mexico was a classic example of a lesser-known talent giving the master a taste of the medicine he used to offer.
Well, that's not true. I should know. I was there. Allow me to take the liberty of giving you the truth. That is, if you were not there yourself.
Well, I wasn't there. I was covering a war at the time.
Oh, that was unfortunate, because you were not present at an event that will always be a part of bullfighting history. I will tell you what happened.
Before you begin, waiter, 2 more of the same, please.
As I am sure you recall, there had been a great deal of agitation from the Garcia people for a face-to-face match, a mano-a-mano. There were many who felt that El Encanto was, how do you say in English, coasting.
Oh, yes, coasting, taking it easy.
Yeah, I could never agree with that point of view. If you went to the corrida and saw Armando Paz, you were present at an event that carried extraordinary emotion. True, it lacked authentic competition, except for that fancy Dan Garcia, but he never coasted. The bulls would not permit it.
Why was the fight held in Mexico?
For the usual reason, my friend. Money. The Mexican impresario Vargas made a fantastic offer, as I understand it. At any rate, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on a warm day in the Plaza Mexico.
Matador Armando, be careful with this one. He hooks like a boxer with his left horn and looks smart enough to know Latin.
Run him again, Juan. Show me how he moves.
But we have already.
I said again. Are you the matador or am I?
You are, Armando. You are.
There were also a number of disloyal pipes who felt that Armando was not only coasting, but that he had lost his nerve. The urge to fight the bulls.
He used to ask me, Juanito, has there ever been another one like me? And he gave me the truth, old man. I guess at 40 to his 20, I did seem old. I know you've seen them all. Am I not unique in this art? I laughed at his arrogance and agreed. But I always cautioned him about making comparisons. Every great matador is a divine manifestation of grace under pressure, created to purge us ordinary people of certain emotional problems. They are priests, these men, ones who perform honestly and with a strong sense of justice.
My manager, what a shrewd uncle that one was. He had bribed every major bullfight critic in Spain to promote the fight between El Encanto and myself. He had schemed in ways that I would not like to discuss even at this point in time. He did whatever was necessary to get me into the ring with El Encanto, and it was one of the great lessons in my life. The opening pass with the capote was Armando's strong point. The pass is called a Veronica, supposedly named after a woman who wiped the sweat from the brow of our Lord on his way to be crucified. No one but Armando Paz could capture the tenderness of that emotion with his cape. That uncle had something sacred in him.
The bulls were what you would call in English flag bulls.
Toros banderas.
Yes, toros banderas. Each one as large as this room, armed with horns as wide as your arms spread, faster than a racehorse over a short distance, and filled with a violent belief that he was the god of all that his strength and horns could encounter. Oh, senor, real bulls. Real bulls!
The beauty of his movement, the way in which he wrapped himself in his cape as he took his first bull away from the picador with the chicolines, the cape flapping gracefully from one side to the other, almost caused me to applaud. I knew I would have to dig deeply into myself for the performance needed to match his if I wanted to have more contracts for the following season.
The first one, Churro, made a treacherous stab as Armando was making his last pass of Quite, slashing and jabbing with his left horn as Armando went down.
Most people say that the bullfight has three basic parts, and some say thousands of pieces. But all agree that death is always a prime ingredient for both the bull and the man.
Juan Pelé, Armando's peón de confianza, the oldest and most experienced member of his cuadrilla, saved him from a serious goring with one bold slap on the bull's nose. Oh, I have never seen a man move toward danger with such courage. Armando calmly picked himself up and rewarded Juan with a series of chicolines antiguas that stole the breath from us. It was like watching a butterfly avoid the rush of a two-ton truck.
It was as though the bull Churro, sensing that my mind was far away from the arena, far from the monstrous appetite of the crowd, dumped me onto the sand and threatened my life to remind me of what I was and what our purpose for being there was. I thanked Juan and Churro with one of the most grateful passes I could think of, the Chicuelina Antigua.
The complaint has always been made.
See, that he was not one to do a three-ring circus full of passes.
Yes, not many beyond the
basic. Yes, I have heard that. And he was true on this occasion also. But we must make the distinction between the matador who only knows a few passes and the master who weaves a spell with a few threads.
My blood turned to fire when they began to scream for Armando to place his own banderillas. They knew it was something he never did. But on this occasion, he snatched the sticks from my hand, anger showing in his eyes at being asked to do so.
The elegance with which he broke his sticks in half on the barrera, the fence around the ring, strolled to the center of the arena as though heaven belonged to him and earth was too dirty for him to place his feet on, is something I shall never forget. You know how critical the Mexicanos can be when they judge the placement of the sticks. I mean, after all, they have a Malito Chico, Carnicerito de Mexico, Procuna, and Arusa, among others to look back to. And this Sunday, Armando Paz, El Encanto, was added to that list. I cannot say more. Old men, sitting in the places where bullfighting is discussed.
Such as this place.
In such places as this, throughout the world, will always speak of those three pairs of banderillas. In Mexico, they are called El Encanto sticks, Los Palos del Encanto. He placed one pair standing on the strip that circles the barrera. He placed another pair blind. That is to say, he sighted the bull for a charge, stood like a statue, and at the last second, fake to his left, and dip the shortened sticks into the bull's neck while looking up at me.
At you?
Well, it seemed that way. It is an emotion that I later discussed with others. They say that they also felt that he was looking at them. Now, I am embarrassed to admit that my eyes were closed, and I did not witness the last pair. He sighted the bull, turned his back, and I am told by those who had the strength to watch, faked the bull to the right side of his body, and as the bull swept under his right armpit, placed the sticks.
Oh, that's impossible.
Why, no! As I said, I could not watch. I was so certain that the horn would be slammed into his back.
I have to smile even now when I think back to the dedication speech I made to Mira, for Churro. Those who were close enough to hear my words to her at the barrera could not believe their ears. I could tell from the shock that their faces registered. I said to her, "To you, Mira Duran, I would like to dedicate this noble animal. I would like to dedicate it to you as a true representative of the beast that forces me to fight, to kill, to bleed, and maybe someday to die." I remember the words of the dedication because I had rehearsed them for 2 days. Mira thanked me for my words with her usual cynical smile.
His domination of the bull was masterful. I have seen them all, the best. But this was like seeing it for the first time. At one point, as he dropped the bull's head with the left hand natural and led the animal's face into the folds of the flannel, I had the illusion of seeing a man open a garden gate in slow motion. And during the course of his movement, as he slowly left the bull poised in one spot with a dazzling remate, he turned to us with a grave expression as though to say, "I am doing this for you. I, El Encanto, the only one in the world able to do this." I hated him, and I loved him. I am told that a new record for fainting was set in the Plaza Mexico during the course of his faena. I found him a strange creature to watch. It all appeared to be a dream, the manner in which he led the bull past his body in a series of dream-like patterns as he casually studied the reactions of his audience. For long, slow moments, as he worked closer and closer to the horns, I felt myself being drawn into a brotherhood, one that only a few men on earth are privileged to join.
You would not believe it. The stupid women who fainted in the plaza. And it was not much better in the men's sight. See, of course he was brave. But couldn't they see he was simply playing on their emotions?
You know, there was this odd thing that we all understood about Armando, that he hated to make the kill, which, after all, is the final function of the
Matador. See? Killer and bull.
Yeah, exactly. We understood this about him. But in some strange way, this reluctance to kill made him a better killer.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You got to ease that one past me again. I missed something. Well,
you see, his reluctance to kill made him want to do it and have done with it quickly. He was not one to hesitate when the moment arrived.
The moment of truth. That becomes an hour for some.
But never for Armando. Oh, he was a surgeon with the blade. The moment of truth was only for a moment.
Some invisible force pressed upon my shoulders as Churro staggered to his knees. I found myself kneeling in front of his horns, crying. As his blood spilled onto the sand, I felt some mysterious power was draining me. Somehow I could see myself through the bull's dying eyes. Armando the Rascal, they called me at one point. The thief of the orange groves. The crazy one who stalked full-grown bulls in the pastures at midnight with a torn shirt. I had never questioned what my role in life should be. What I might become other than a bullfighter. And with Churro, I found myself asking that question.
People around me were out of their minds.
Churro was an unbelievable experience. I witnessed it, but I didn't believe my eyes. I also witnessed Armando's third-rate performance with the two bulls that followed. During the course of his first fight, he had been a god. A god, do you understand? And then, nothing, nada. With the two bulls that followed, he made stiff, half-hearted cape work. His rhythm was jerky. I cannot describe the filth that was screamed at him. The public felt that he was cheating them. During the course of his first fight, I had been put in the shade. Now I walked in the sun. I showed them which one was number one.
It was unbelievable, truly. After having done so much with his first bull, one would think he was going to tear up the Taurian world with the next two. It was not so.
To put it bluntly, Armando blew it in Mexico. He showed all of the signs that the aficion needed to know that he was washed up. I don't know what happened to him. What does it matter? I will always be accused of causing him to make a poor showing, no matter what. So, es la vida, no?
Leonard Nimoy again, and here's the fourth act of El Encanto, the story of Armando Paz, Matador.
I could never explain it, what had happened to him. He became a man at war with himself. He dragged me around with him nightly, into and out of the lowest dives of the city. He drank too much.
More wine for us, for my friend Juan, for me, El Encanto.
Armando, come, let us go home. We've had enough.
Yeah, you're right, Juanito. What sense does it make? We'll only be sorry later for it.
It was even rumored that he betrayed me with a dancer, Teresa Albacin. Oh, if I had found it to be true, I would have clawed her eyes out, and his.
Many of us in the profession thought that he had cut the coleta, as we say, you know, that he had retired.
Yes, it is true. I have to admit it. I, Jose Bienvida Flores, aficionado número uno, fell into the trap of believing that Armando was, how shall I say it, washed up? If one had to be blunt about it, yes. I believed with many others that he was washed up, a memory,
And then, one morning, an announcement mysteriously appeared on the posts and walls of the city. The announcement was that he would fight bulls from six of the greatest ranches in España. A Mirura from Cabrera, a Paro Romero, a Domecq, one from De Los Gallardo, Vista Hermosa, and a Vista Villar. Soccer suddenly seemed much less important than usual.
I have to admit that I went to see him prepared to see someone who had once been great make a fool of himself. It was a real puzzle in my mind as to why he needed six superb bulls to show the world how bad he had become.
They were all mistaken. I had no need to prove anything. After my fight with Churro, there could not have been anything else. He was the bull of my life. He was also, in some rare way, the germ of a feeling that I'd always concealed from myself. His death was my awakening, in a manner of speaking.
Armando acted well, let us say, different towards me after Mexico. I cannot explain exactly what I felt in words. I could reach him no longer. Do you understand what I am saying? We had always had differences of opinion, even from the beginning. But this was different. He was different. He would stay out half the night and go to the church next morning, every morning. It was like living with a person in two different worlds. I thought perhaps it was the Gemini in him, you know, the divided personality coming out.
I made a decision. The decision was to give the bulls one last chance. There were those who didn't understand. Mira didn't understand. But she never understood me very well anyway. Others called my decision arrogance or madness. I didn't feel it necessary to explain anything to them. I made my selection from the best ranchers because I was the best. And I wanted to fight the best one last time.
There was a slight breeze moving through the city on the day of the fight, but in the arena it was like a hurricane. The worst that could happen on the day of a fight, the wind. Armando joked about it.
A little fresh air to blow the cigar smoke and cheap perfume out of the arena, eh, Juan?
As a member of the profession, I tried to put myself in his position. I couldn't. I didn't want to see him gored or killed, but I was impatient for the fight to begin, for the public to see that Armando was a has-been.
Oh, the bulls. They were beautiful monsters. There is no other word I could use to properly describe them. Each one was fully grown, well-muscled and armed with horns that seemed to have room for cradles in between the tips. And he fought them with the cold, elegant charm that had made him famous. You know, there was an element of something magical in what he did that afternoon. With the wind and the danger of his cape or his muleta misbehaving, there were times when it seemed that the only possible development from what he was doing had to result in tragedy. But it did not. He ignored the wind and the cynicism of the crowd, and he offered himself to the bulls. Pedricinas on his knees, Molinetes, Manoletinas, Afaralados with the left and the right hand, movements with his signature on them. He dedicated the bull to five other persons beside myself. Oh, I treasure the experience of having witnessed his triumph. It was almost religious.
He fought six of the most dangerous bulls in Hispania, in the world. And he gave the money to charity. Can you imagine risking your life for nothing?
It was done. I had offered the best of them a chance and survived. I could go onward to what I knew would be a more satisfying life, a life that would grant my soul peace.
Each of us has to face life somehow. Some of us only do it in the mirror, at the surface. Armando Paz went much deeper.
They scream for blood! For my blood! Blood! Oh, no, no, no! Stop! 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 Please!
Yes, yes.
I'm all right, Father.
What was it? The bulls again, Father Paz?
No, not the bulls, Father. The crowd.
It's never the bulls that cause me to have nightmares. It's always the crowd, the memory of the crowd. And what a monster it was.
From time to time, I have this horrible dream of them charging me all together, the crowd.
Charging me, howling, screaming at me.
I think I understand what you mean, Father Paz. I must admit, I have been an aficionado all my life, and I recognize the beast you speak of.
Yes.
Shall we go to chapel to pray?
Yes. I think that is a very good idea. I would like to give thanks for having escaped from the horns of the bulls and the public.
Father Paz, I have wanted to ask you, what do you think of this rivalry between Ramon Garcia Sobrano and Diego Ordóñez?
I would like to say, you know, to begin with, that neither of them is as good, well, Lord forgive me for my modesty, as good as I was. Ramon, you know, with his great ego, shows...
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Armando Paz, El Encanto, was written by Odie Hawkins and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Leonard Nimoy. Our stars were Larry Moss, Tommy Cook, and Jack Crucian. Featured in the cast were Stan Waxman, Lillian Baev, and Don Diamond. The music for Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. Associate Director of Mutual Radio Theater is Ken McManus. Sound effects were created by Bud Tollefson. Mark Trella is Production Supervisor. Recording Engineer, Hal McDonald. Music Editor, Lee Ringette. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBR.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Lorne Green. Listen in on Monday for another story about the West, as it was then, as it is now.